I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 4, verses 23 through 30, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapels underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we've heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The events in today's gospel are like a type pointing forward to what will come. Today, Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, is insulted. But we press on toward Jerusalem, where the fate will be far worse. Today, Christ anticipates their "physician, heal thyself," but the time comes when people will cry out, "Save yourself if you are the Son of God." And this, indeed, is it the prophet's hometown? Because it is necessary, as some of you heard last Sunday, that a prophet should go his way and perish at Jerusalem, the city that kills the ones who are sent to it. Jesus was always too big for Nazareth, but he also is too big for Jerusalem. He is not acceptable anywhere, actually. So he has no place to lay his head until another Joseph offers up his own new tomb. In the unlikeliest of places, like Capernaum, Tyre, Sidon, Jesus does have a reception, but it does not last there either. He is going on from there. He is going to his Father, and every town can see it in his eye, whether Jews or Gentiles. His kingdom is not of this world anywhere. His home is not with this crooked generation. And that frightens or angers nearly everyone that Jesus meets. Even his own, at the end, will have to deal with a rebuke from him on Easter Sunday. "Do not touch me now." He looks as if he means to go on. Always. And this shows us that he is not ours to handle or to be proud of, or to brandish like a talisman. My heart, certainly my faith, are with the Christ the King, Christ is King crowd. Except maybe for this one observation that we must make today, and for the memory of what happened to the sons of Eli when they decided to take the ark into battle with them. The truth is that if we spent 3 years at Jesus' seminary like his disciples, then we would get Jesus just as well as his disciples did. They understood none of these things. If we were his hometown and childhood neighbors, we might say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" in amazement or maybe in disbelief, but only because clearly he has surpassed all of our assessments. The Lord has nothing against his mother, as many of you heard yesterday, but you cannot butter him up by boasting of your devotion to her. The Lord resists being co-opted every time. He's the sort of God who will write his own prophecies and then come into town to read them and fulfill them in the hearing of them. Now today we have heard the small rejection, but Nazareth is not permitted to put him to death. His hour is his own. He lays it down of his own accord, just as he will take up his life again in the same way. It is his will not just to be rejected a little bit, but to be consummately rejected. Not in grand scale before all of his friends, but with no supporters. So forgotten and abandoned that only the man who was paid to be there can observe that truly this was the Son of God. And if Jesus is so despised and rejected, then again today we are warned not to despise him by assuming that he is in our power, or that he is in our corner, or that he is in our wheelhouse. It really leads us to the question, is Jesus ours at all? Certainly he is. Just before this, he said from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon him to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to all who will hear." But see how the favor comes. It comes like it did to the woman at Zarephath or to Naaman the Syrian. In both cases, that was almost lost. You remember? Because both of those characters noticed how small, how undramatically, how weakly the prophets had come to them, and they were offended by it at first. If the servants had not called Naaman back and said, "Come on, do you indeed have a word from the Lord? Will you not go?" If the widow had not first heeded the prophet's strange command, and then, despite her angry outburst at him when her son died, nevertheless acknowledged immediately that the word of the Lord was true in the prophet's mouth. If not, then the word may well have passed through their midst and gone away also. It is Christ's particularity that many cite is the cause that they reject him. Jesus does not give signs to Jews who want them. He does not give wisdoms to Greek who seek it. Christ is king only if acknowledged with his crown of foolish thorns. And therefore, his message to us is, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish on the way. Because the wrath of Nazarenes he brushes aside handily, but his derision is not so easily shaken off. Repent. Take heed if you think that you stand, lest you fall. And rather in humility submit to his word, so that it may address and correct and shape and comprehend you, and so fulfill itself in your hearing rather than in your treating and handling and taking it for granted. That is our aim for this Lent, and really for every Lent, that by immersion in the Word of God, we would press on to know the Lord in His holy salvation and in His mighty acts at Jerusalem for us, that His true light would enlighten us, and by that spare us from every form and twist of darkness, so that despite all of our grabbing at Him, He would come to us as He chooses and allow us truly to cling in faith to His great favor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.